From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Inner Richmond,
Lower Haight,
Burlingame,
Mission,
Potrero Hill,
Russian Hill since 1999. Love it.
Coming up, we'll visit a concrete Buddha that stopped illegal dumping in Oakland.
I'd have stuck Christ up there if he'd have kept the mistresses off.
Then we meet one of the world's first female rabbis from Berkeley.
Women are in a caste system. It's called sexism. It still exists.
We'll head to Mount Tam for a ritual dance and to San Jose, where a hip-hop artist explores the more important things in life.
There's a spiritual essence to us. It's the mind, it's the body, it's the soul, it's the heart.
Spiritual expression, Bay Area style. Today on a special hour-long edition of Cross Currents. Stay with us. Welcome back to Cross Currents from KALW News, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area. I'm Hannah Baba. Today, we're going to be exploring all the different forms spirituality can take here in the Bay Area. With me is someone who knows a little bit about lifting the spirit, Mr. Terrence Kelly. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi. So Terrence is artistic director and co-founder of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir. It's been around now for 29 years.
29 years going into our 30th year celebrations this year.
All right. Well, welcome and thank you for being with us in studio.
Thank you for having me.
So Terrence, gospel is known to be from the Christian tradition, but yours is an interfaith gospel choir. Why an interfaith gospel choir?
There were people that wanted to be able to sing gospel music that maybe didn't want to have to join a Christian church to do so. It started out of jazz camp, where I did the all-camp gospel choir, and people fell in love with gospel music, but maybe not wanted to join a black church or a gospel church to do it. So we started the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir, where any and all who were interested could come and sing.
And so in Oakland, you are based. What is it about Oakland that that makes it a good place for this choir?
I think Oakland may be one of the most integrated cities in the country. And it's just loving and accepting, you know, basically of anybody that wants to be positive.
Mm-hmm. And so when you say interfaith, how many, like, do you ask people, like, what are you when they come in? Or is it everybody is welcome, we no questions asked?
Well, I'd be scared to ask, what are you? We ask, what faith are you? So we have, every year we do an annual take, so to speak. And mm-hmm. At last count, we had about 13 faiths represented within the choir.
Well, here on the spiritual, on the Cross Currents for the past year, we've been airing a series, a new series that we have, we're very proud of, called The Spiritual Edge. And it explores all the different ways that people express their spirituality. And it's Bay Area focused. This area is very rich in expressions of spirituality. And it's the kind of series that makes KALW really unique among public radio stations. So, you want to hear? You want to taste?
Sure, please.
Yeah?
Let me have it.
All right, so let's hear a story from The Spiritual Edge now.
I'm a Muslim.
I am a Jewish.
I have no religion.
I'm Christian.
Reformed Judaism.
I'm Catholic.
Muslim. Not religious.
Buddhist.
Southern Baptist.
Hindu. Atheist.
Christian.
Agnostic.
Catholic.
Living in one of the most diverse cities in America can breed all sorts of surprises. On a street corner in Oakland, just east of Lake Merritt, there's a statue of a Buddha just under 2 feet tall. Vietnamese immigrants take care of the statue. It's housed inside a rather elaborate shrine. KALW's Judy Silber lives nearby and brings us this story about how the small Buddha changed a neighborhood.
The Buddha sits at the corner of 11th Avenue and 19th Street. In this part of Oakland, deep potholes and trash mark the street. But then there's this perfectly manicured shrine. It's an elaborate structure decked out with flags, flowers, and wall hangings. Vietnamese immigrants chant there every day. Not all the neighbors are so pleased. The Buddhist alarm clock, they call it. But they're mostly tolerant, even appreciative. Because before the shrine, the corner was much worse.
There was a couple of years there when there was just a lot of street muggings and a lot of car break-ins.
That's my housemate Denise Mewborn. We live half a block from the shrine. Denise has been in the neighborhood for more than a decade. At one point, crime was so bad, she thought about moving. It's better now. She and others credit the Buddha. By one account, the story starts back in the 1990s. Oakland installed medians to block streets and slow traffic. At 11th Avenue, that created a new problem. Dumping.
Mattresses, tables, junk. Just continual junk.
Dan Stevenson lives catty-corner to the median.
A lot of graffiti, a lot of urination and drug use kind of thing.
Back then, he called the Public Works Department a lot.
I practically became friends with whoever that was on the other end of the line. It was so regular that we had to call them.
Now, Dan isn't religious at all. He's a cynical guy. But in 2009, out of desperation, he epoxied a Buddha to a rock at the corner. His wife Lou bought it at the Ace Hardware. They thought maybe that would shift the energy.
I'd have stuck Christ up there if he'd have kept the mattresses off. I don't care who's doing it.
The dumpings slowed, but then other stuff started to appear.
Flowers and oranges and little things left for the Buddha. Either the Buddha was producing a lot of stuff or something else was happening.
What was happening? The Buddha had been adopted by Vietnamese immigrants, including this woman.
My name Vina.
Vina Vo is a tiny woman, less than 5 feet tall. She grew up in a village called Wong Nai. And as a young girl, she learned traditional Buddhist mantras from her grandmother. Here, her 28-year-old son, Cook Vo, translates.
Okay, she said that every morning she would pray, and similar to now, she would do this at home as well as walk to the temple every day with her grandma.
Then war took over the country.
The town of Vinh Linh, just inside the border of North Vietnam, was struck today by U.S. and South Vietnamese planes.
In 1975, South Vietnam surrendered to the communist North.
April 29th, President Ford orders total evacuation of Americans from South Vietnam.
Vina Vo was 17 years old.
UPI's Alan Dawson, one of a handful of American journalists left in Saigon, watched the North Vietnamese and Viet Cong troops enter the city in a victory parade.
The communists burnt down their homes, relatives were beaten and killed, the temple destroyed.
She said that her grandma suggests that she go find freedom in any way, and one of those ways were freedom of religion.
In 1982, Vina, her husband and brother got on a small boat.
I know this story. There were 34 people on that boat, and they now live all over the world.
In a Hong Kong refugee camp, in a warehouse with bunk beds and no privacy, a monk regularly came to visit. It had been 10 years since Vina recited the mantras her grandmother taught her. But in the camp, she gathered every week with about 40 people.
It was very important for her to pray because of the struggle ahead, and initially is for health and peace, but ultimately praying for freedom.
7 years passed. The family came to the United States. They hopscotched around before arriving in Oakland. And then in 2010, someone at the Vietnamese church told Vina about the 11th Avenue Buddha.
One of the community members happened to live here, and he actually attends the temple that she goes to. He mentioned to her about this because she lives nearby. Like, hey, maybe you could come take care of it and take care of that space and clean up the thing and maybe provide a canopy for the Buddha.
She started doing just that. Friends and family helped. The shrine has always been beautiful, a spot of grace. But in July, the grounds and the Buddha shelter improved. According to Dan Stevenson, even his face got an upgrade.
His hair's been colored, his garments are gold and red, and I mean, he's beautiful.
I would never recognize them on the street.
My name is Tan Afanga, and I'm with the Vietnamese American Community Center of the East Bay.
She says the 11th Avenue Shrine mimics life in that part of the world.
Back in our country, in a village, we always have just like, a small shrine in every village or different corner beside the, official temple.
In Vietnam, shrines and temples are community meeting places, just as this shrine is in Oakland. Of course, there are people involved, which means disagreements about management. But mostly, it's bringing people together, and not just from the Vietnamese community. As for Vina, she's a familiar, friendly face on 11th Avenue, rigorous in her devotion. She believes the chants make you a better person. Caring for the Buddha is symbolic of caring for yourself or a neighborhood. In Oakland, I'm Judy Silber for Cross Currents.
Thanks, Judy. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba, and I'm here today with Artistic Director of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir, Terrence Kelly. Hey, Terrence.
Hey.
So in that last piece, Vietnamese immigrants express their Buddhist faith through chanting. And many spiritual traditions use chanting and song and music. Can you talk about that link between spirituality and music?
Well, the most musics have some element of chant to it. When you get into gospel music and you get to the end of the song, there's usually what we now call the hook. Mm-hmm. And it's almost in some form or another, it'll be some sort of a chant almost. If you're really listening to it that way, you could call the hook a chant. And it brings forth enlightenment because you get to get into the spiritual aspect of it because you're not concentrating on so many words. You're just going, you're going over and over the same call until, the room is elevated with spiritual presence.
Mm. And then clapping.
Oh, yeah, clapping. That's very, it's very indicative of gospel music coming out of the African diaspora. Mm. Lots of clapping and rhythms within the African diaspora of music, period.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to hear something from the Interfaith Choir now. And if you're ready, we can go. Yeah.
Worship you, O Lord. We magnify your name. Everybody clap your hands. Everybody clap your hands. Everybody clap your hands. Everybody clap your hands. This is the way we praise you. Clap your hands. This is the way we praise you.
Clap your hands. What is it? What happens when people are together and singing and clapping their hands? What does that do for them?
It opens up the spirit. There was, if I had known this question would have come up, I would have found it. There is a proverb somewhere that says, at the clapping of hands, spirit is released. Mm. So, darn it, I don't know where it's from. But I believe that. I believe that, you're singing and you're clapping and you're moving your body. So the spirit is able to be freed up and kind of let loose a little bit.
Mm, let loose from what?
The confines of the body, the confines of our mental, I have to be in control of it-ness.
So letting go is part of spirituality as well.
Oh, I do believe
so. It's not about being in control all the time.
Oh, I don't believe so. I think it's about letting go, giving deity control.
Mm. All right. Well, it is our spring membership campaign here at KALW. Thank
woo-hoo.
You for joining. Yeah, woohoo. This is our second day. We're going strong. And we really appreciate you being here with us today, joining us in the joy That is the spring membership campaign, which is always a joyful time. We always hear joyful noise coming out of KAW.
Well, this is such an awesome station. I'm happy to be here and be a part of it.
Thank
and listening
you.
To the stories. It's just lifting me today.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to hand it over to our pitch room.
Thank you very much, Hannah. This is Ben Trefney. I'm the news director at KALW. I'm here with our managing producer, Julie Kane.
Hello.
Hey, and we are, as she said, in our spring membership drive, and we have a big challenge right now for you. We are looking for 20 calls or clicks at 800-525-9917 or kalw.org. And if we get that 20 calls or clicks, Julie, we're going to get an extra $300 from Brenda Altman. Extra $300 if we can get 20 calls or clicks right now.
You know how you can help us? 800-525-9917. You can go online, kalw.org. We are all about making a joyful noise today. Please give our phone room a call and let them hear you. 800-525-9917, kalw.org.
We've got a whole bunch of people who are in there ready for your calls at 800-525-9917. We want to hear that joyful noise. We want to hear those phone calls because that's how we make great radio all together. We are part of the community. KALW is here for the community. Be part of our community at 800-525-9917.
It's really exciting to be here with Terrence Kelly at the station. This music is so powerful, and that spirit of joy is what we're all about. You can be part of that if you give us a call, 800-525-9917, KALW.org.
And now is really the most important time because we have this challenge from Brenda Altman, and we're not going to get an extra $300 for KALW programming, which it takes. I mean, we need this time right now when we get our listener support, and we're 72% listener supported, Julie.
It's amazing.
This is the time, and Brenda Altman has put that challenge down, $300 extra dollars if we can get 20 calls or clicks by the end of Cross Currents. Please make it happen right now at 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org, and we're going to go right back to another Cross Currents story while you give the call right now, 800-525-9917.
This is a special Spiritual Edge edition of Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. For many liberal Jews, it can be hard to imagine a time when a woman's role was mostly in the home. But it wasn't so long ago that only men could become rabbis. The feminist movement began to change that, and in 1981, Rabbi Lynn Gottlieb was one of the first women to be ordained. During her four decades leading congregations, she challenged old texts that don't make sense in a modern world. Today, Gottlieb is pushing another agenda for Judaism, a path of nonviolence. The lead producer of the Spiritual Edge Project, Judy Silber, sat down to talk with Rabbi Lynn Gottlieb.
Why nonviolence within a Jewish context? Why is that important?
People who are looking for spirituality in this age, nonviolence is critical because we know that we are facing many profound challenges within our own tradition and in the world. And those of us who still are part of Jewish culture and love Jewish culture want to formalize the ways that our community engages with profound issues in the world like sexism, gender violence, homophobia, Islamophobia, and of course, Israeli militarism.
There's this thing about religion. A, it's old, and B, people take it as truth. You know, not so much in this world that we live in now.
Right. We have science now, for instance.
Right. So there's, you know, there's a lot of like pushing away of religion and saying, well, there's nothing in it for me because it no longer applies to my life. Look at the story of Adam and Eve. There's sexism there. But then at the same time, there's someone like you who you're a rabbi. So obviously it's important to you. The question is, like, how do you reframe something that's that old and still keep the tradition? Because that seems hard.
Now, that is a question that was put to every single feminist the minute that women started challenging the tradition. So this question that you're asking has been wrestled with for you know, since the late 60s, really, and earlier, actually, if we really track the tradition. So what is lovely about Jewish tradition is the ceremonial traditions. They're so wonderful. We have a cycle of a year that allows us to come together as community and celebrate many different values and lives. The stories have always been evolving. There is no such thing in our tradition as a fixed tale. Everything has multiple variations. In fact, we are a rabbinic tradition, not a biblical people, because the rabbis used every strategy in their playbook to diminish and change what they considered to be unacceptable passages in the Torah, even the ones that were commanded by God. Well, that gives people an awful lot of space for creativity, imagination, and flexibility. I feel even more expanded, you might say, in my point of view. What I love about the tradition is that we are a storytelling tradition. And when I initiate the kids into bar and bat mitzvah or adults, I say, what is our accountability to people living now? And what is our accountability to the tradition? How do we negotiate that through the hermeneutics of social justice and nonviolence, which are considered the most important principles of the Torah? And once you say that, nonviolence is the most important principle of the Torah, that changes everything. And there are some things within the tradition that will hold that up and you can track that legacy. And there's other things that have to fall away.
I want to spend a minute or two, and I know it's not enough to do it justice, but on the Israeli-Palestinian question, I mean, it divides the Jewish community in the United States so starkly. And it also divides the religion, because there seems to be a separation between the politics and then the root of Judaism, meaning its guidance for leading a spiritual life. How do you approach it?
Israel-Palestine. Well, this is an issue that I first came to in 1966. So in Israel, where I went and sought out a Palestinian living in Nazareth to tell me stories, because I knew there was something wrong. I could see it. And from the moment that he said to me, if I tell you my story, you will be accountable. Don't say you didn't know. That was exactly the same phraseology that survivors had told me, survivors of the Holocaust, and also similar calls for accountability that were coming out of the African-American community. So in my mind, I put these together. One thing I realized was that we cannot afford to be anybody's enemy. But if you're going to wage change, you have to wage change that is against the system of violence that is perpetrating harm. That is the basic idea. And that's what I've been doing. And some people have a very hard time with that. Boycott, divestment, and sanctions is a big issue in the Jewish community because people don't understand it very well. Divestment means that you're not going to put your money as a religious institution into and make money from a company that's bulldozing tens of thousands of houses or makes bombs. This is not difficult. People embraced it in Montgomery when the term nonviolence started to be used, and we should embrace it now.
That was Rabbi Lynn Gottlieb talking with KALW's Judy Silber. Today on Cross Currents, we're exploring different ways that people express their spirituality around our Bay Area. It's part of our series, The Spiritual Edge, which began last year and is looking at all the many ways that Bay Area residents are innovators in spirituality. And today we're joined by one of those innovators, Terrence Kelly, the co-founder and artistic director of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir. Terrence, we just heard an interview that included the idea that people are moving away from religion. And just today, yesterday, a survey was released from the Pew Research Center that showed the number of adults who identify, for example, as Christian has gone down. The number of people who say they don't belong to any religion has increased.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting, I thought, was that one group that was constant was Black Christians, Black Baptists, and overall Black Protestants.
Hey.
Do you think the gospel music and the spirit of the Black church through this music leads to that?
I do believe so. Although I think it might be suffering a little as well as others. They were actually talking about that on TV today,
mm-hmm.
about how people are not feeling as connected to a religion as they are to spirit. So I think New Day spirituality has taken a firm hold in all religions, actually, that people are looking for something that is a little more, maybe just modern.
Modern. And what role do you think music can play?
Well, the difference that I think gospel music brings, and maybe the consistency that you were talking about, is gospel music continues to morph. So lots of other musics stay traditional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gospel music has always run the line of the saint and the sinner. So what you can hear at church, you can also almost hear the same thing in the club. So the music continues to grow and redefine itself, so it doesn't become obsolete.
Mm. And so it keeps the attention of even the younger generation?
It keeps the attention even of the younger generation, which is kind of cool, because right now there's a Mahalia movement with the younger kids. I mean, like the 12, 13-year-olds are falling in love with Mahalia Jackson, which is really neat.
And you have an Oakland youth choir.
Yeah, we have the Oakland Interfaith Youth Choir, and they did a tour in January to Canada. And as a matter of fact, the gospel choir is going to 3 countries in July. So, you know, we're trying to take gospel music as far as we can.
And what is the difference in material between the adults and the youth?
The adults would be tuckered out if they sang the youth program.
How so?
It's a lot faster.
Oh.
A lot more energy. You know, mm-hmm. the youth choir songs, you know, they're high energy. They dance a little harder. Mm-hmm. Now, the adult choir dance is pretty hard, too, though.
Really?
Yeah, we cut a rug.
All right. So we are in the middle of our spring membership campaign. With me is the awesome. I'm going to say awesome because we were just very happy that you're here today. Terrence Kelly, thank you.
I'm so happy to be here. Anybody that has my Facebook, I just put something on it. Go get it and give to KALW today.
All right. Let's hear more about that giving. Let me hand it over to the pitch room.
All right. Thank you so much, Hana. And thank you for listening to Cross Currents today. This mm-hmm. is Ben Trefney. I'm the news director at KALW, here with managing producer Julie Kane.
Hello.
And we are here to tell you that we are on our way to meeting the challenge we've got during today's Cross Currents. We have 16 calls or clicks to go. So please help us get that number down. Help us keep it counting. We are at 800-525-9917.
A click is as good as a call for this challenge. If you go online at klw.org, you can help us. We just need 16 people
mm-hmm.
by 6 o'clock. So we would love it if you would either call us, 800-525-9917, go online, KALW.org. I want to give a quick thank you to a couple people who have given us their support. Andy Campbell in Oakland.
He says,
for him, KALW is a very happy station.
Mm.
And Jennifer Yu in Menlo Park, she says Cross Currents is her favorite.
Oh, thank you so much, Jennifer. Yeah. We really appreciate it. And we will appreciate your call and your support, too, at 800-525-9917. No reason to wait. Now is the time, because we have this challenge from Brenda Altman, a generous challenge of $300 additional for KALW if you can call with your support right now, 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
Make those phones ring for us. That's a joyful noise we love to hear. 800-525-9917, kalw.org.
Because that music that we're hearing, the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir, that's the joyful noise all the time. But I've got to admit, Julie, right now, the most joyful noise that can be made is the sound of the phones in that phone room at 800-525-9917.
And we have a lot of really great people in there answering the phones, people who are working with us on Cross Currents.
Oh, yeah.
They would love to talk to you, and they're actually really great people to say hello to. Mm-hmm. If you give them a call, 800-525-9917.
And if you've been familiar with the way the KALW does membership drives, you know that we try to stay out of the way mm-hmm. of the programming that you love and that we're here for. So we're going to go right back to Cross Currents right about now, but you can still call while you're listening, 800-525-9917 or kalw.org.
In the Bay Area dance community, the soon-to-be 95-year-old Anna Halperin is a living legend. Her career in postmodern dance started in the 1930s. Along with artists like Trisha Brown and John Cage, she founded the influential Experimental Dancers Workshop in San Francisco in 1955. She and her husband, the late architect Lawrence Halperin, were frequent collaborators, and in 1978, she founded the Tamil Pa Institute for Expressive Arts Education and Therapy with her daughter, Daria. 35 years ago, Halperin also started something called the Planetary Dance, a yearly ritual that takes place on Mount Tam. In this piece from our archives, KALW's Jen Cheehan brings us the story.
I want to see a little dip, that, like when you step onto a foot, you imagine that you're leaving footprints in the sand.
Anna Halperin is leading one of her weekly dance and improvisation classes at her Marin County studio. She guides the dancers across the wood floor, gracefully demonstrating movement after movement. Her voice fills the room as she encourages students to dig deeper. She's calm but energetic. She's 91 years old.
Move into the floor and out of it, like you're moving into the earth and out of it. And then the toes are like fingers on your hand.
Halperin has influenced generations of dancers and artists with her unique integration of dance and healing work, along with her use of performance to explore social issues. Much of this work has taken place at her home and studio on the lower slopes of Mount Tamalpais. One of her lasting contributions is the Planetary Dance. It's been performed on the mountain for 30 years and has grown into a global movement. Halperin describes it as a community dance ritual. The difference between a dance ritual and a dance performance, she says, is in the intention.
It's not a pretend experience. It's not a make-believe. It's not art for art's sake. It's done actually to create some kind of change or to honor some particular event.
The Planetary Dance began in 1981 when a serial murderer nicknamed the Trailside Killer was terrorizing Marin County.
So we were living in fear and anger, frustration.
Halperin decided to respond in the best way she knew how, by creating a dance
about the Trailside Killer and about bringing back the mountain.
A group of about 80 dancers and community members, including families with children, traveled up the mountain and went to the 6 places where bodies had been found.
And we did offerings. Somebody planted a tree, somebody said a poem, some children did a dance. And then we walked down the mountain, and 2 days later, the killer was caught.
While no one claimed that the ritual had caused this coincidence, many of the participants had felt empowered by their actions. Ira Kamen, a journalist who was a part of that first ritual, wrote about it in California Living magazine. He said, quote, "There is no more wind today on the very top of this mountain. there is such stillness, such peace. Halperin and her growing community of dancers continued to enact the dance ritual annually, choosing a different theme each time.
Sometimes it was AIDS. We're going to dance to cure AIDS or breast cancer or violence in the schools. So every year we chose a different theme. And this year the theme is peace.
The central component of the planetary dance is called the Earth Run. It's a movement score, basically a set of movement instructions, kind of like a recipe for a dance. Dancers form three circles, one inside the other, moving in different directions. There are options for running fast, jogging, walking, or being still. Musicians in the center of the circle provide a steady beat.
And they do a call and response, so people chant, and it goes on for as long as they want it to go on.
This simple and accessible choreography invites everyone into the dance, no matter their training or physical ability. Halperin says in creating the planetary dance, she was very influenced by Native American dances.
Taking a motif and repeating it, almost like a mantra, until the accumulation of the numbers of people repeating that becomes almost meditated and takes you out of your ego and puts you into a state of consciousness which is very heightened in relationship to the energetic force that's created by everybody doing the same step at the same time is transformative.
Over the years, the planetary dance has spread to other parts of the globe.
So do you know that by now we have 30 different countries doing the planetary dance.
And the theme of peace remains ever present. Halperin tells the story of a Tamalpa Institute graduate who traveled to Angola, a country that suffered a three-decade civil war. A young human rights worker and former soldier named Claudio Salgueiro was especially moved by the dance ritual. Last year, the Tamalpa Institute invited him to come to California to learn how to lead the planetary dance, but government opposition to his human rights work has kept him from traveling. Halperin says that while she's troubled by Salgueiro's situation,
it just gives me more determination. This has got to stop. So I wear him kind of like as an emblem on my heart to keep me going. I'm going to keep doing this until the day I stop breathing.
It's now after 9 o'clock. The trees outside the windows are shrouded in darkness, and though class has officially ended, Anna Halperin is still going.
Always come back to the physical, and that will regenerate. So always come back.
She shows no signs of flagging energy as she talks and gestures, demonstrating with her whole body the way forward. On Mount Tam, this is Jen Chien for Cross Currents.
The next planetary dance will take place on June 7th on Mount Tam. Find more information on that and other events celebrating Anna Halperin's 95th birthday at kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba, and I'm here with the artistic director of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir, Terrence Kelly. Hello again, Terrence.
Hello.
Thanks for being with us. Terrence, we just heard a story about creating new ritual through another art form, dance. Ritual is something you can do over and over and over, but the meaning can change over time. So do you feel like that with your performances, that the meaning of what you're singing or why you're doing it has changed over the years, or is it a static that just stays static?
I think it moves. I think some things may stay in the same place, but I think it still has some areas, you know, change over years. You know, as you get older, priorities change, and then experience make you a different person. So I think some parts of it move and some parts of it may stay the same. It's like a song we sing, Lord, How Come You Here? It's a Negro spiritual from the standpoint of a slave woman. And it says, there's no freedom here. They treat me so mean here. They sold my children away. Mm. The lady that sings it started singing it before she had her baby. Once she had her baby, it became a completely different song for her, especially when it gets to the part about they sold my children away. She said before it, she could only conceptualize it. She was like, but, you know, now she has this one-year-old baby and it's hard for her to leave him for a few hours to go sing at a concert. The thought of somebody taking it away from her forever, you know, completely changed how the whole song was sung, changed her delivery. And now when she sings it, there's not a dry eye in the house ever. It's always just a showstopper.
Can we get a taste of that?
Lord, how come me here? Lord, how come me here? Lord, how come me here? I wish I never was born.
Mm. And many of the Negro spirituals are painful like that,
mm-hmm.
right? Some are uplifting and some tell of a very painful time. How is that inspiring? How what does that do?
Well, there's always the underlying message of hope, actually, that one day I'll be free, whether that freedom comes with an Emancipation Proclamation or death, mm-hmm. and, you know, the coming of God to get me. One day I will be free. So there's always an underpinning happiness that is, you know, buried within the song.
All right. All right. That is Terrence Kelly. This is KALW. And now let's go over to Julie and Ben and see what they're up to.
Thank you very much, Hannah. And we are here enjoying that music.
Oh,
and we are counting the calls and the clicks on our way to this $300 challenge. We have about 12 to go, Julie.
12 to go.
And you can help us out at 800-525-9917 and KALW.org.
And, you know, we want to thank a couple people who have stepped up. We really appreciate it. Danny Goldstein in Berkeley, who says he adores Sarah Cahill and will listen to anything with her voice in it.
Yeah, the music of KALW.
Mm-hmm. And David Herzl, who loves 99% Invisible, Jim Hightower, and Cross Currents.
Oh, thank you so much, David. And we really appreciate all of you. And please keep that support coming. Right now is the perfect time to support KALW because of this challenge. We need 12 people to call or to click at KALW.org for us to get the extra $300, which helps keep our operation running, and it keeps us all together here in the Bay Area strong. 800-525-9917. And boy, listening to Terrence Kelly sing there, this is the kind of stuff you do not hear anywhere else, but this is what we're all about here at Cross Currents, Julie.
That's right. I mean, I really, that's just like so powerful to hear that song and to hear Terrence Kelly sing that. You know, to show your support for that kind of personal moments on the radio, give us a call, 800-525-9917. Go online, KALW.org.
And know that you are supporting our station even more than the gift that you give because of the challenge from Brenda Altman, extra $300 only during Cross Currents today. We need 20 calls or clicks. You can be the one to help us get over the top at 800-525-9917.
I think we can do it. I
hope we can do it.
We really want to hear from you. 800-525-9917. Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it. And please go ahead as you hear our next story to KALW.org. Become a member of KALW. Renew your support. Become a new member. Call 800-525-9917 as we go back to another story.
Earlier, we heard about dance as ritual. Let's explore another intersection of art and spirituality, this time in the religion of Islam. Islam has a rich artistic heritage of architecture, design, music, painting, and poetry. Muslim poets like Rumi and Hafiz are famous for a depth and beauty that defies time. Today, that poetic tradition is still strong in perhaps what many may consider an unlikely place, urban America, through the genre of hip-hop.
Artists like Yasiin Bey, known as Mos Def, Q-Tip from Tribe Called Quest, and Lupe Fiasco all identify as Muslim hip-hop artists. Their music mostly veers away from rap themes of braggadocio, girls, or money. They instead talk about personal reflection, faith, family, politics, and social justice issues. The Bay Area boasts many Muslim hip-hop artists, including San Jose rapper Tyson Amir. We'll get to know him and know how his faith informs his music in this edition of Bay Area Beats. This is my purpose. As long as your brother's upon the surface, I'm on my shit, you're working. That's from birth to the dirt. And it's my purpose. As long as your brother's upon the surface, I'm on my shit, you're working. That's from birth to the dirt. And it's my purpose.
In early age, I was influenced by the different religious traditions that I saw around me. I grew up in a very diverse community. In San Jose, I had Vietnamese friends, I had Filipino friends, I had, you know, a lot of different Latino friends. I had friends that came from various parts of the African continent. And so I was exposed to a lot of different religious traditions, Islam, Buddhism. I had some friends who were Jains, Sikhs. I had friends who were, of course, various parts of the Christian spectrum, Catholic, Protestant, and all different denominations of Protestantism. And I was just fascinated by all of it. But what resonated with me, primarily because of the historical tradition that I inherited from my parents, which was more of a black nationalist from the civil rights movement, was Islam. I was influenced by the Nation of Islam. Even though I did not adopt that, still the manners, the mores of the people of the Nation of Islam really resonated with me somehow, some way. And it attracted an ear, it attracted my eye, and you know, if we're talking like spiritually, it attracted my heart. I'm on my shit, you're working, that's from birth to the dirt. Friend, it's my purpose. As long as your brother's upon the surface, I'm on my shit, you're working, that's from birth to the dirt. I like the idea of connection. So in Islam, there's the concept of the unity of God, Tawheed. You know, like, God is one. Like, Islam is real strict on its monotheism, right? But in that idea, if there's one creator, the creation is also part of that initial act of creation. So it's all connected. I love that idea. And then even stepping out of the monotheistic paradigm and going to like the Eastern traditions, like with Hinduism, the concept of Brahman, like Brahman, and how everything is connected through that. All is one. And like, I want my music to call to that because I want my music to be able to touch all people. So let's go ahead and give the people Karma of the Streets. It's the karma of the streets, the tragedy, the comedy, the drama of my peeps, the victims of economy, the slave traders colony. So follow me as we wander free through the karma of the streets. It's the karma of the streets, the tragedy, the comedy, the drama of my peeps, the victims of economy, the slave traders colony. So follow me as we wander free through the karma of the streets. It's the karma of the streets, the tragedy, the comedy, the drama of my peeps, the victims of economy, the slave traders colony. So follow me as we wander free. I try to talk about hope because I need to be hopeful to survive. I talk about love. Love is the foundation of any revolutionary movement. You can't be a revolutionary and just be bloodthirsty or just want change without that being motivated by love. You have to be able to see people and want to help people.
Yes. The boy on beats with the Blastmaster Tyson.
This song is Remember from the album Purpose. And so talk about like my history and my upbringing as an artist, and then also my family. And so those elements are focused on prominently in the song, and I think, you know, folks will enjoy it. You never make it this far, boy, you never make it this far. And I remember all the nights when I used to dream, I used to see. One day I shine like a star, a star, a star. One day I'ma shine like a star. I talk about struggle because the struggle is very real for a lot of people throughout the world, especially in the American context. So I want people to be able to hear that. I want people to be able to hear the process or the journey of trying to find balance and peace. we're deeper than just the physical material around us. There's a spiritual essence to us. So I want people to be able to hear that in the music and connect to that. It's a very multi-dimensional experience that I try to articulate. It's the mind, it's the body, it's the soul, it's the heart, it's the people around you. It's trying to defeat the ego and the appetites of the desires, like just trying to find a middle way to be able to live peacefully in the world and make a positive contribution. I think my music tries to speak to that. Tupac Shakur's, it was keep your head up, beside to I get around. Digital underground, me and my boys, we would sit around, dreaming of selling our shows and rocking every crowd, man. Those was the days. I remember when they say, y'all ain't gonna make it, songs won't get played. You ain't no gangster or a hustler. Nobody wants to sit around listening to y'all conscious rap all day.
Tyson Amir's new album is called Purpose. You can check out some more tracks at kalw.org and click on Cross Currents. And while you're there, we've got two more things that you can do. One, we want to hear your thoughts about the Spiritual Edge Project, all the kinds of stories you've been hearing today. There's a survey online where you can give us feedback. And secondly, we want you to become a member of KALW today. And with me in studio today is Terrence Kelly, Artistic Director of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir. Terrence, you've got a big concert June 13th in Oakland. Why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, it's kind of awesome. It's the community choir component of Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir. It's about 80 singers, and they are our non-audition group, but they are fabulous. Mm. And they come together to have a good time and sing gospel music, and they are just as integrated as the gospel choir, you know, about 10 or 11 faiths represented within a community choir.
Excellent. Well, time has run by, and we want to hear another one of the productions of your choir. So I think we want to hear Mary's Baby. Mary's Baby really is a powerful, powerful hymn, song. What do you call it?
It started as a spiritual, but I rearranged it to be more of a gospel song.
More of a gospel song. All right. Mary's Baby. Here we go. Mary's Baby. Well, thank you, Terrence Kelly, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
All right. And June 13th in Oakland. Go to our website. We will link to that. Thank you for being with us. We are going to go to the pitch room to see what's going on with Julie and Ben. Take it away.
Thank you so much, Anand. We've just been enjoying ourselves. It's been a wonderful show. And, you know, this is KALW, Cross Currents. This is the only place where you're going to hear this kind of thing. The Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir. Mm-hmm. Bring in the joyful noise. And you have been, too. You've been stepping up to help us meet our challenge of the 20 calls or clicks during this hour. We're almost there,
we're
Julie.
We're almost there.
We're almost there, but we're not quite there yet. So we need you to call, please, at 800-525-9917.
We need 5 calls or clicks before you hear Terry Gross's voice. 5 calls or clicks, 800-525-9917, KALW.org, at an extra $300. It's so great. We can do so much with that.
Exactly. And we actually just got another person. Yay! Who went online to KALW.org. Brendan Peacock, he says, I love Cross Currents, This American Life, Fresh Air, everything, hoping that KALW is always around. Well, Brendan, we will always be around with your support. Thank you so much. And with our listener support who helped bring this whole community together, just like the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir, KALW is a big part of this community.
That's right.
Please help us stay strong at 800 800- 525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
We just can't do it without you. We thank you so much. I want to thank a couple people. One is an anonymous donor who really appreciates KALW News' Rachel Dornhau.
She's an editor on The Spiritual Edge. We've been hearing a Spiritual Edge show today.
That's right.
800-525-9917.
Another one from Laura Rose Fernandez in San Francisco. She says, KALW nourishes my curiosity. I love that. Let's feed it. 800-525-9917. We need four calls or clicks. Four calls or clicks.
Or we're not going to get the extra $300 that Brenda Altman has pledged to us if we can meet this challenge right now. We have an open phone line right now. 800-525-9917. Somebody just took one call. We picked up a phone. We have another
phone call. Make those phones ring.
800-525-9917. Help us meet this challenge. We're probably about three calls away, but we're not going to get $300 if we don't get that in the next
minute. Oh, my goodness.
800-525-9917. Now's the time to call, please. Or go online to kalw.org, Julie.
I want to thank someone else, Robert Stewart in San Rafael. He says he's thrilled with the fact that KALW is a true community radio station. You know why that is?
Why?
That's because of listener support.
That's right.
72% of our budget comes from listeners.
Yeah, it's almost three quarters of our support from listeners, and we only ask for your support twice a year. We haven't asked for 8 months. That's how our station works. We are here for you all year long, and we just ask for your support twice a year. Now's the time. 800-525-9917. I know that we're about 30 seconds away from fresh air, so please call right now. We only have 15 seconds left. 800-525-9917. Help us meet that challenge right now. And Julie, thanks so much for helping out. And listeners, thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you.
This is KALW San Francisco, and we have a couple seconds left. 800-525-9917.
A click is as good as a call. You can go online, kalw.org. Give us a call, 800-525-9917. And we just really, we thank Terrence Kelly, and we thank you, and we really appreciate all your support to help us do what we love to do.
Uh-huh, and what you love to hear, we are a part of your community. Please, keep listening. Keep your feedback coming. This is KALW San Francisco. We really appreciate it. 800-525-9917. Thank you.